Ask one of the experts at Daniels to help you plan your project from start to finish. Come and see what's growing on at Daniels Farm and Greenhouses in St. Peter's. Online at danielsfarmandgreenhouse.com.
It's Steel Dealer Days. Steel chainsaws start at just $179.95. Trimmers at $129.95. Visit steeldealers.com. All prices MSRP.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Gagliotti.
And I'm Dr. Nick Barnes.
Tune in to the Maximize Living Radio Show Saturday at 4 p.m. and Sunday morning at 7 a.m. to maximize your life.
Right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter, and that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rail, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday!
Crossed over, if I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet, on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon, here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me in the studio. Tim's in the traffic center and I'll be flying around in this beautiful blue sky afternoon. On this first day of May. And for those of you who are new to St. Louis, we who live here would like you to know, maybe you're just a tourist visiting our town, this is what our weather is like all year long. Right here.
Oh. Yeah, June, July, August, all.
Yeah.
75.
Sunny, 75 degrees.
No humidity.
Never having any humidity. We have a slight problem with pollen. And by the way, you can pull off at any exit on any interstate now and shovel as much pollen as you like right into the trunk of your car before going on with your day. Because all over the area, none of us have taken a breath in about 5 days now. It's just been absolutely horrible for the allergy sufferers. I wake up in the morning and as soon as I wake up, I feel that feeling behind my eyeballs, that sinus pressure. I go right to the pill. Get that pill in me. Dissolve. Let's go. Get in the bloodstream. Start fighting against this stuff. And that's with the windows closed. But other than that,
I now have pills that I have to take for allergies.
Yeah.
And I've never had allergies before in my life. Until last year, the year before, it kind of started just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year got a little worse. Today, this year is horrible.
I'll tell you what sucks about these pills now, and I've been an allergy sufferer for a very long time, a hay fever sufferer, which means I basically have to start taking these pills in the middle of March. And then right around my daughter's birthday, which is Memorial Day this year, that's when I can stop taking them because everything is pretty much grown at that point. The trees are the worst for me. But these pills used to be prescription only. You'd have to go to a doctor and get a prescription for them, which was a pain, but it was covered under our prescription plan, and so it cost $5.
That's how mine are right now. Mine
now they're over the counter, and they're $25.
Exactly.
But mine
exactly, because the one that I took has gone generic, Allegra D. It's now a generic.
Mine are either over-the-counter or prescription, and he wrote a prescription and said, maybe your insurance will pick it up, and they did.
Oh, wow, you're lucky.
So
you're lucky. I don't have that. So nonetheless, we're inside, we've got the windows closed, and we're ready to rock for the next 3 hours. A couple of good guests coming up on the show today. In about 20 minutes, David Steinberg will be back on with me. David Steinberg is a legendary comedian who, just to give you an idea of the comedy history of this guy, He did the comedy routine that was responsible for the Smothers Brothers being thrown off CBS in 1969. And since then, he's become one of the great sitcom directors in Hollywood after a long stand-up career of his own. And for the last few years, he has been doing a show, an interview show on Showtime called Inside Comedy, where he interviews comedians and they talk about the craft of comedy and they tell stories. The show is going to come back this Tuesday night on Showtime, and the first two guests are Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. And I've seen that show, and it's great.
Wow.
And he's got a whole full season of that coming up, and so I'm looking forward to having him back on. We'll talk about those guys and some of the other stuff. I also have a classic Hollywood story that a friend reminded me of that involves David Steinberg, and I want to verify with him whether it's true or not, because it's a great story whether it's true or not. But we'll find out from him.
And he was on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
More than any other guest. Over 140 times.
Hmm. And he hosted a couple of times, too, right?
Oh, dozens.
Everyone thought that he may have been the one to take over after Carson left.
Well, at a time, if Carson had retired in the 80s, that might have happened. Yeah. But I don't think his name was thrown around in 1992 when that happened. David Steinberg was on Jimmy Fallon's show last night in the same studio in New York that Carson did the show when he was used to be on it.
Ah.
So some comedy history there. So I'm looking forward to having David back on the show. And then later on, Colin will be in here to review a little independent movie that I think needs as much promotion as possible, and we're happy to help out. Apparently, the people at Marvel have a thing called Avengers Age of Ultron. I haven't seen any promotion for it.
What is that?
I'm really surprised that there aren't commercials and guest appearances and that sort of stuff for this new Avengers movie. So we'll find out what Colin says. And if I know Colin like I think I know Colin, the movie will do really well after he gives it the bump, the Colin bump, they call it in Hollywood.
Right.
So we'll have that. And then Andy Daynart is coming back on the show today. He's got a website called Reality Blurred, where he writes about reality TV shows. And this week he wrote something about an upcoming CBS reality show called The Briefcase. Have either of you heard anything about The Briefcase?
I did. I saw your little piece you wrote yesterday about it.
It is. You mean I linked to his piece about it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is exploitation to the nth degree of people who really don't deserve to be exploited. Andy alerted us to it on his website, and if you haven't read that, he will... talk about it with us this afternoon. And we also have the Harris Challenge and Knuckleheads in the News and Mike Evans. So why are we wasting time now? Let's get to the show.
Let's go.
Oh, this is the show. Damn. It sounded like we were building up to something, didn't it?
Something
I thought something like really exciting was going to happen there, but we don't have a band or anything. I did see just before walking into the studio today that the Muscular Dystrophy Association has ended their Labor Day telethon.
Really?
Yes. They just announced this like an hour ago.
Because last year, I remember it being on, but it was only on there was like a tiny little window.
Yeah. It's not even a telethon anymore. It's on 2 hours on that Sunday night.
Wow.
They kicked Jerry Lewis out in 2010, 5 years ago, after he had done it. I looked up the history of this thing. Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin together started doing benefit things for the Muscular Dystrophy Association in 1956 at Carnegie Hall. It wasn't even televised then. They just put on a big concert and had a whole bunch of stars and people, you know, in tuxedos and gowns would go and see it and pay a lot. And then it became a local show on TV in New York, and then it went national in 1966, and that's when it went from... on Labor Day weekend, Sunday night at like, 9 o'clock did it start here? 8 o'clock? Something like that.
Yeah, it started at like 9 or 10 maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it started right after the news.
After the 10 o'clock news?
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's right. Because they always had to get Mike Bush out to Gravois Road and do everything from
or,
the farm.
Or they were, yeah, he was either at what they did it at Grant's Farm, right, yeah, for a little while. Then they did it at Crestwood Mall for a while.
Yeah. But it would go from Sunday night into 5 o'clock or so or 5:30 on Labor Day. And you know, Jerry Lewis originally would actually stay up and do the, what is that, 20 hours
right.
or so?
Yeah.
19, 20 hours of it. And he would actually do the whole thing. And the fun of it for me, although I was never a big Jerry Lewis fan, and this was the really the one thing that kept him in the public eye every year, because he, you know, he would make an occasional movie, but for the most part, I didn't pay attention to those, except for when he appeared with Robert De Niro in Martin Scorsese's The King of Comedy. I don't think I saw a Jerry Lewis movie that wasn't in black and white. I remember seeing them as a kid on a black and white TV, the old ones that he did in the 50s, 60s, and that sort of stuff. But I don't think, as an adult, I had ever seen anything with Jerry Lewis except that Scorsese movie. And so the Labor Day Telethon was the only time I really got to see him doing anything. And he was in full Jerry mode every year. He always came out with a chip on his shoulder because, you know, people put us down here. They think we're exploiting the handicapped. And, you know, we always had kids in wheelchairs there, and they had a lot of shots of that. And, you know, the honest answer is, was there exploitation? Yeah, that's how you got the phones to ring, by showing the sick kids in the chairs. And that's what made people at home, you know, maybe get a tear in the corner of their eye and call up and give their 5, 10, 20 bucks, whatever it was. And, of course, the corporate sponsors who got all their time. But I always tuned in to the beginning of the show and to the end of the show. And if I could, I would, like, if I could get up on Labor Day morning and turn it on, and Jerry was still on. This is before the days where he would go to sleep at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and,
yeah.
and you know, get he was getting up there in years, and so he had to get some sleep. And so, you know, Casey Kasem and
Ed McMahon,
even Ed, once he started getting up there in years, he had to go take a long nap overnight.
I liked it when they started, Jerry came out in his tux and everything. And then, like you said, when you watched it, when you turned it on Monday morning, the tie was undone, the shirt half off.
Yeah, and he was usually ranting about something. This is a time of day when a lot of people aren't watching, but these people, these performers are coming out here for you, ladies and gentlemen, to entertain you and to help make our phones ring. And now here's Shecky Schmeckman with the dancing dogs, and they come out.
Shecky Schmeckman?
Well, yeah, he always...
Shecky Green.
Shecky Green
was always on there, wasn't he?
Yeah, all of those Vegas...
And Norm Crosby. Remember Norm Crosby?
Norm Crosby and Tony Orlando.
Yes.
They were the go-to hosts when Jerry had to take a nap.
Yeah.
Norm Crosby would come out and do 15 minutes of botched English.
Yeah.
And Charo would always be on there. I mean, that was the last line of old-time vaudevillian performers. Long after comedy had changed. You know, David Steinberg was there at the beginning of the changing of comedy with Richard Pryor and George Carlin and Robert Klein and those guys. And then into the 70s and 80s and 90s. But Jerry Lewis was still in the Norm Crosby world of guys who just got up there and did jokes, shtick, and that was it.
I saw Jerry Lewis and Charo on the same bill at the Fox Theater. This
really?
Was years ago.
Really? I want details on what this was like.
Tremendous.
Really?
It was absolutely tremendous. And I thought, I want to see Jerry Lewis because I know he was funny and things like that. And Charo, I thought, you know what? I'm going to take Charo or leave her. I don't care. I didn't like the coochie-coochie stuff and all that.
Okay.
Charo was absolutely phenomenal.
I've read that she was an unbelievable performer, and I've seen some clips of her on YouTube, and she's always doing, you know, some song that was completely inappropriate for her to be doing, but she always had on the really, really short dresses and danced around and moved like she was a Vegas showgirl.
Absolutely tremendous. Great stage presence.
And had long nails and yet flamenco guitar.
She could play the guitar. Like, it was crazy how good she was on guitar.
Yeah.
Crazy. And then Jerry Lewis got out. He was really, really funny.
Now, was there a full orchestra behind the both of them?
The orchestra was in the orchestra pit.
Oh.
Jerry, somebody yelled out, and I'm sure it was a plant. Somebody yelled out, "Jerry, conduct the orchestra." And he just started wailing his arms, and the orchestra was just playing out of tune, everything. It was one of the funniest moments of the show.
Wow. The only time I got to see Jerry Lewis in person, I've told this story on the air before, I was lucky enough to be in the front row at the Universal Amphitheater because of a radio promotion at the very first Comic Relief show with Robin Williams, Whoopi Goldberg, and Billy Crystal, which aired on HBO in 1986.
Wow.
I think the spring of 1986. And it was an amazing show with an amazing lineup of performers. And they did have some old school people on there, including Sid Caesar and Jerry Lewis. And when Sid Caesar came out, I was a huge Sid Caesar fan. I stood up and I'm in the front row and I give him a standing ovation. I look around, no one else is standing. And so a half hour when they bring Jerry Lewis out, everybody stands except me. Because my attitude was, you're not going to stand up for Sid Caesar? Yeah. I'm not standing up for Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
So that's
surprised Sid didn't bring you backstage. Thank you.
So the MDA people tried to go on with the telethon after that. I think they tried to keep the spirit of the telethon going, but condense it into a two-hour primetime show. But the problem was that Jerry had developed all of these relationships with the national sponsors and had brought in millions of dollars for the cause. I mean, whatever you may think of Jerry Lewis, you got to give him credit for the hundreds of millions of dollars he brought in for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. When I read this morning, it says that in the years that he did the show, the telethon brought in more than $2 billion. $2 billion.
Crazy.
And stop right there and think about the fact that this disease has been around for a really long time, and he's been raising money to do research into it and to fight the disease, and the disease is still here.
And over the past, 5 to 10 years, they've really started incorporating ALS in there as well, because ALS is a form, is in that muscular dystrophy family.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there were a bunch of those that they kind of put under the umbrella of MDA. And
Didn't they claim, like, over the last couple of years after Jerry Lewis, that they were still raising about the same amount of money?
Yeah.
Weren't they saying?
Last year they did, and
that's what I couldn't figure out. I go, how could you possibly, in you 2 hours, raise what?
Well, here's the only way that's true. The only way that's true is if all of that money we saw going up on the tote board on the telethon was corporate money, and the $5 and $10 donations from Betty and Jimmy at home
just so small
were so small that it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the case. I think that the viewer money in 20 or 21 hours of TV nationwide had to add up to something.
Right.
Had to add up to millions of dollars. So how could they, with a two-hour primetime show, possibly be making as much as that?
No,
$50 million. Roll the tote board.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. So there won't be a MDA Labor Day telethon anymore. Although, if you believed in that cause, you could still write them a check, and I'm sure they'd be more than happy to cash it, even without the tote board. All right, let's take the break. When we come back, David Steinberg will be here to talk about his new season of Inside Comedy on Showtime.
Meep, meep.
Let's get a look at traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Well, we've got a mess out there to start off your rush hour. First of all, they've got Highway 40 westbound shut down just after Chesterfield Parkway West. And that's due to an overturned concrete truck. So now traffic is a solid jam back to Highway 270. Looks like a parking lot. Now, folks, you can decide to go Manchester, or you can take 141. You get off on one of the outer roads there. That's about the only detours you have. But now we've got a new crash on westbound 70 just after the Blanchet Bridge. It's blocking the left center and the center lane, or excuse me, the right center and the center lane. And we have also traffic back up to Highway 270 there. You've got another crash at Rivas Barracks and McKenzie. You're looking pretty jammed up coming into downtown on eastbound 70, and that goes from about Grand through the Depressed section. On eastbound 270, things are now slowing between Lindbergh and 170. This traffic report is brought to you by Zillow. Zillow, with homes for sale, historical pricing data, and photos. Available on Zillow.com or on their mobile apps. Zillow, find your new home. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Bill McDermott, the voice of St. Louis FC, here in your home for St. Louis FC. We had recovered this entire season. Join me and Bob Ramsey for Match Day Live from the Soccer Park in Fenton, including pre-match, post-match shows. The Big Sports Show will feature St. Louis FC coverage throughout the entire week, and everything you need to know, everything you want to know about St. Louis FC will provide you here on your home for St. Louis FC, the Big 550 KTRS.
This is Jim McMillan. You know, I've been a family man for a long time, and now I want to tell you about another family that I just love, and that's the Fertilome family. Fertilome is known across the country as one of the most complete families of products that goes to work on lawns and gardens every day. Tree foods, evergreen foods, lawn foods, weed killers, insecticides, fungicide, and the list goes on and on. Chances are that when you visit your favorite nursery, one of the first names you see is Fertilome, because your nurseryman is a pro and he knows there's always a cure for your lawn or garden problem somewhere in the Fertilome family. When you buy a Fertilome product, you buy years of testing in the industry, and many of those products are not found in any other line. So why not make Fertilome a member of your family today? So get the solution to your garden problems today with a Fertilome product. Fertilome, what a great family.
Homes are selling very quickly in today's St. Louis market. Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group is here. How should sellers prepare their home to get the highest price?
Aligning with us, they'll receive the highest online exposure to attract the most buyers. And our 18 years of experience sets us apart when negotiating in a hot seller's market.
What makes the buying or selling experience different with your group?
We have one of the highest selling real estate groups with a team of specialists dedicated to a client's individual needs, such as staging and design, marketing, and buyer specialists.
Great.
Our team meets with clients to help stage and strategize to ensure your home appeals to a wide variety of buyers. We even pre-market your home.
Okay, so how do you use technology to help the seller?
We can communicate directly with our clients through iPad minis that are preloaded with various apps, giving them the most up-to-date information right at their fingertips.
That's Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group and co-owner of Keller Williams Realty West. She's a real estate expert on Channel 5, and she's with us weekly on KTRS. She's online at KathyHelbigGroup.com or 314-276-SOLD.
Hey, Cardinal fans, the weekend of May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, you want to be at Busch Stadium when the Cardinals take on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Not only are you seeing an NL Central showdown, but you'll also have a chance to take home some great giveaways. Friday, May 1st, the portable phone charger presented by AT&T. Saturday, May 2nd, the adult replica Matt Carpenter batting practice jersey. Sunday, May 3rd, it's the adult performance t-shirt. That's the weekend of May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Tickets available at cardinals.com/promotions.
These fans are getting some big league baseball tonight.
Hi, fans. This is Jason Hayward, and it's great to be a part of Cardinal Nation. On Sunday, May 3rd, we take on the Pittsburgh Pirates, and that day is the adult performance t-shirt giveaway. 25,000 fans, 16 and older, will take home their very own one-of-a-kind t-shirt.
Woo! Is that nice to see?
Cardinals baseball, it's where tradition meets today. We'll see you on May 3rd. Tickets are available at cardinals.com/promotion.
You think they're having fun here at Busch Stadium? Listen.
Are you looking for some jewelry? You're in luck because Setley Jewelers, for the very first time in their history, is having a huge jewelry liquidation sale up to 70% off. Diamonds and colored stones and engagement rings and diamond studs and more, all drastically discounted up to 70% off in honor of Gus Setley and his retirement. This sale will not last long. Up to 70% off your jewelry at Setley, catty corner to the Galleria at Brentwood Boulevard and Clayton Road. Up to 70% off in honor of Gus Setley and his retirement. Setley.com.
Will 2015 give us a Triple Crown winner? Hi, this is Jay Randolph reminding you to join me and renowned handicapper Doug Knackman for our Kentucky Derby seminar this evening at 6:30. Get the inside in-depth information on the run for the Derby. The Derby seminar presented by Del Mar Gardens, Taco Bell, and Fairmont Park, where you can watch and wager on all the races Derby Day. The Derby seminar tonight at 6:30. Don't miss it.
Musicians, now through Sunday at Guitar Center, don't miss the big payback. For every $50 you spend, we're giving you $10 in Guitar Center bucks good towards a future purchase. That's right, we're paying you back up to 500 Guitar Center bucks. So come by and get hands-on with the gear you really want. From the best guitars, drums, keyboards, and amplifiers to the most state-of-the-art DJ, live sound, and recording gear. Because during Guitar Center's big payback weekend, the more you spend, the more you earn. In-store and GuitarCenter.com. Exclusions and limitations apply. Visit GuitarCenter.com for details.
Thinking about downsizing? Handling the sale of mom and dad's home? Maybe it's just time to move. Well, where do you start? You start with a game plan that includes answers to what's the house worth? How long is it going to take to sell? How do I get the most for the house? Call me, Terry Hall, and get your game plan started. We'll sit down, evaluate the house, condition, make a plan, and then you decide what to do. No pressure, just a game plan. Call me at 314-220-0524. That's 314-220-0524.
Hey,
It's the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me in the studio, and that music is the theme to Inside Comedy, David Steinberg's interview show that airs on Showtime and is about to start a brand new season this Tuesday night with a couple of great guests, Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. And then later on, he gets to people like Wanda Sykes and Dan Aykroyd, Cheech and Chong, Michael Keaton, Ted Danson, Bryan Cranston, Conan O'Brien, Jeffrey Tambor, Carol Leifer. That's quite a season, and if you've not seen the show in the past, you absolutely have to see the premiere episode on Tuesday night on Showtime with Stewart and Colbert, because it is real insight into both of them, and that's because of this gentleman here. David Steinberg, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Thanks for supporting it. I love that.
It's my pleasure. I know you were on Jimmy Fallon last night and returned to your old haunt there from your days on the Carson show. And before we talk about Inside Comedy, I have to ask you about a story that a friend of mine named Mark Evanier wrote about recently on his blog. He found a picture that he thinks was from 1970 or so, and it was a picture taken at a Friar's Roast of Jack Benny, and Carson is in the picture with Alan King, Ed Sullivan, Dennis Day, Phil Harris, Jack Benny, George Burns, and Milton Berle. And here's what he says. He says, David Steinberg was guest hosting The Tonight Show that evening while Mr. Carson was elsewhere in the building taping that roast.
Oh, yes. No, wow, that's incredible. Yes, I remember. I would never forget that, actually.
Okay, here's what he says, and maybe you can verify the story for me. He says, you were interviewing some guest when all of a sudden Milton Berle walked out on stage, absolutely unannounced. True?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
well, then instead of me telling the story, you tell the story. What happened?
Well, it was Milton Berle who walked out. And then I went back to the guest. I can't remember who the poor guest was for that evening. And then Jack Benny walked out. And the audience, of course, went nuts. Jack Benny had to just look. You know, he would hold his elbow and his hand on his face and looked at me and he just said, "Too young. You're too young." and just looked out at the audience. And then finally I said, well, this is one of the most exciting evenings, and thank you so much. The audience was going crazy, and now let's get back to doing the show. And then Johnny Carson walked out.
Johnny Carson walked out as a guest surprise appearance on his own show.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It was just a way in which the you know, it's a surprise. The version of comedians is they're dark and they're drugged and they're drunk and they're unhappy and all of that. What I experienced was this incredible camaraderie that they all had. You know, they all do the same. It's all this a form of a metaphorical bullfighting that you're doing with an audience and trying to win them over all the time. Everyone knows how hard that is to do and get laughs from the audience. And these guys were pros and didn't really need writers to write for them, and that was a remarkable evening. I haven't thought about it for so long. And part of all of this is that because that was in New York, there are no tapes of it, because one of the reasons that Johnny Carson was so angry at NBC most of the time is they didn't collect any of his early shows. Until he got to Los Angeles.
Yeah, whatever there was on tape, they erased the tape and used it for game shows.
That just was amazing that they would do that.
Now, here's the part of the story that you haven't mentioned, and Mark wrote about this. He said, So Carson came out, and everybody went apoplectic, and then the ruckus died down, and Carson, now seated in the guest chair opposite you, explained, we can only stay a minute because we're on a break from taping the Kraft Music Hall salute to Benny. Yes. And you laughed, and Johnny asked you, what are you laughing at? And you grinned and said, I was just thinking about how wonderful the rest of the show is going to be after all of you leave.
How happy the audience is going to be when you all leave. They're like so let down to be just left with me. It's unbelievable.
And you probably had another 45 minutes to an hour because it was a 90-minute show.
Of what a letdown.
All right. Well, I'm glad Mark wrote that story so that you can remember it and verify that it did happen.
Oh, it absolutely did happen. I'm glad to be reminded of it. I forgot about it because it was – yeah, it was in New York, and I was such a young person to be hosting the show, And I'm never arrogant about it, but I think when I was young, I thought, oh, yeah, hey, I deserve this. Now I realize how lucky I was to have those guys. But again, it was their respect for each other that they included me and wanted to sort of welcome me in. And I was very controversial even then. And that was a memorable an evening as ever.
And by the way, that sort of thing would never happen on a contemporary late night talk show because nothing spontaneous is allowed to happen like that.
No. Now you're coordinated by someone, and the guest, the host, has to know what you're going to say, and you know that's where they go now.
Yeah, I don't think David Letterman's ever been surprised by a walk-on. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Hey, before you get into the show, I have a question for David. Do you find the camaraderie with the comedians today like there was back then?
What's your question, Dad? Is it the same?
Yeah, is it the same, or do you think it's drifted away?
It's a strong version of it. You know, today I was with Alan Zweibel here in New York, a writer friend who wrote, of course, on Saturday Night Live for years,
yep.
Producer. And Brad Garrett was at the restaurant, and he would just – and I know Brad Garrett so well, and the maitre d' came over and said, Brad Garrett wants to know if he can come over and talk to you. I said, of course he can come over and talk to us. But he was so respectful and so, flattering in a way. And Brad Garrett, incidentally, who most people know just from Everybody Loves Raymond, is a spectacular stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And he's one of the tallest Jews I know.
Well, I like the fact that you didn't say, hold on a second, let my segment producer go over and pre-interview him.
Yes. Yeah, I have fought that my whole life. And in inside comedy, that one of the great pleasures of the show for me is that it's totally spontaneous.
Yeah.
I don't prepare anything. In fact, I won't even look at research on anyone or biography, any of that. I want it to be me with them. Now, a lot of them I know, but still, it's a totally spontaneous conversation, and that's what I think. People don't even know why they're liking it, but that might be it.
I think the spontaneity definitely has something to do with it. Now, let me play a clip from the show that's going to air this Tuesday night on Showtime.
Okay.
This is you with Stephen Colbert talking about your shared history.
So, okay. Stephen, we have Second City in common.
We do, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I was there way before you.
But there were pictures of you on the wall. There was a picture of you as a priest. Well, actually, I believe you were a rabbi wearing a priest collar.
Exactly.
Being a very reformed Jew.
That's exactly right. Yes. I felt that was where reformed Judaism was going, and so I went there. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about in your day, but we had to go learn like 30 years of what was considered the best sketches, you know, to take it on the road.
Well, let you know how old I am. We had to learn a year and a half.
Seriously?
Honest to God.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, there was only one company before it.
That is classic. And I think he was genuinely surprised, David.
Oh, he was totally surprised. It was because I go back to the – I was one of the youngest people in that wonderful company with Alan Arkin and Barbara Harris. And they were amazing. And Second City is a touchstone that it keeps everyone together. That's a community that supports each other always. You know, when the directors, when these actors become writers and producers, they're always looking for the improvisational sort of Second City style, which has now become huge. The difference between even in those years to now is comedy has – in not necessarily good way, has become corporate in some way. It's become an establishment sort of version of how you make money. And that was not the reason almost anyone went into it in my day.
Mm-hmm.
You went into it because you felt you had a point of view and you wanted to get it out there, and that was it.
And in fact, Stephen Colbert tells you on this show why he wanted to do what you were doing at Second City.
Instantly, I thought this was something I would like. For some reason, I had an instinct. And I went down and I watched it, and I thought, this is for me. I have to improvise. I have to find some way to improvise. I had to get up on stage. And And in no small part, because you didn't have to memorize lines. I've got a very good memory. I can memorize lines quickly. So learning the lines has never been a problem for me, but I liked not having to know my lines. I liked the freedom of having to finding another reaction in the moment and that being good.
Yeah.
Oh, not being...
not being whatever he was supposed to be because somebody else said he was going to be that. Oh, yeah. And I'm fascinated by that because...
see his enthusiasm for how important that was to his whole career, and it almost for any of us who came through that.
And he became unique, I think, in recent comedy history because he was improvising on the Colbert Report in character every night, which is very tough, isn't it?
That is the toughest thing. I don't know how you decide to do that and make that work in any way. And the surprise is how charming and smart he is for real. And that's what we'll get when he starts hosting the show. And I think he'll do great. He's just a real connected major brain out there. And it's going to be just another great contribution, I think.
Now, I'm curious about the line between improv and stand-up, which you did both of those things brilliantly in the early part of your career for quite a few years. I tried stand-up comedy at one point when I was very young. And I liked it, even though I didn't do well on stage. I kind of liked it, but... one of the things about doing radio is every day I've got to come up with something new, whereas in stand-up, you've got to work the same 5, 10, 20, 30 minutes until you've honed it and then can take it out and then do that same act night after night after night. Sometimes you go on the road with that act and you do it for a year if you're working the comedy club circuit. Is that what you had to go through? And how different and hard was that compared to you with your Second City improv training?
Well, the Second City improv training, I was there for quite a few years. I was sort of the youngest guy of most companies. I've been funny, a version of funny my whole life, really. Since I was 16, even in Winnipeg in Canada, I'd be on stage talking and all that, never, ever having seen a performance of anyone, never having seen an entertainer, growing up with radio and all of that. So Second City is a revelation as you discover yourself and find out how your mind could work quickly like that. Stand-up comedy is odd in that you can only succeed by failure. So it doesn't matter how well written your piece is. The audience will tell you where it's funny. And sometimes it's not even in the piece, it's off to the side of it, and you have to be able to make that move or rewrite it for the next day into where you felt the audience was most attentive, and sometimes it's not even in their laughter, it's just how they listen. Once you start to feel the sort of intensity of their listening to you, that's when you're starting to make it as a stand-up comedian. And as you suggest, it isn't easy. It's very difficult. On the other hand, I'm in New York now, and I just got in, and I just emailed Larry David, who's doing a play on Broadway, as I'm sure you know, and he's going crazy with the fact that he's doing the same words every night, over and over again, and you can't improvise, you can't break from him, and he wrote everything, so it's not like it's a burden for him terribly. But it's got to be odd for Larry at this point. He's been doing it, I think he's got another 6 weeks of it. But you're doing 8 shows a week and repeating everything that you're done. And Larry's so naturally spontaneous. That's how we write Curb Your Enthusiasm. We write it very written and then put it on its feet, and then we just keep on improvising. And so here he's doing the opposite, and I'm sure it's frustrating him like crazy. On the other hand, he wrote a play on Broadway, and the ticket you can't get a ticket to it, so hot.
Now, the other guy you've got on Tuesday night's premiere of Inside Comedy on Showtime is Jon Stewart, who, of course, gave Stephen Colbert his start. And here's a little clip of the two of you together from this Tuesday night's show.
Okay. The Marx Brothers had... Margaret Dumont to pick on. You have the Fox Network.
They are considered the Margaret Dumont of news, from what I've been told. That was Roger Ailes' original slogan.
That's what made him an innovator.
Was. Yeah. It was, exactly. Yeah. Comedy through misunderstanding, I think, was.
Yeah.
That's Jon Stewart with David Steinberg from Inside Comedy. You mentioned Margaret Dumont and the Marx Brothers, and I think there might be some personal history there with you.
Well, yes, there is. Groucho, when I got my first television show, which was Music Scene, sort of a very innovative version of Saturday Night Live with a lot of committee and Second City people in it, Groucho was my guest. And he came on, and we got to know each other. I got to know him earlier because I was writing his Broadway play, which was Minnie's Boys, which eventually his son and another very talented writer ended up doing, because I just couldn't. I was busy with my show at the time, but I couldn't believe that I became a friend of Groucho's. And he would introduce me to his group, you know, Harry Ruby, who wrote all those wonderful songs from the movies and all of that, and Nunnally Johnson, the producer of movies in the 50s. And it was amazing. It was just amazing. I'm in my 20s. I could still remember my haftorah from my bar mitzvah. That's how young I was.
And here you are with a real comedy icon.
A Mount Rushmore of comedy with Groucho and all, and George Burns and all these people that he had me have lunch with. Him. I was the kid.
Wow. Wow. Now, about Jon Stewart, you recorded your interview with him before he announced that he's going to be leaving. We know August 6th will be his last show on The Daily Show. What do you think his impact has been, David?
I think that he affected a kind of political sensibility and comedy that I don't think we'll ever see anyone quite like that. He is exceptionally smart. And exceptionally funny. I mean, if he didn't have politics and didn't have that point of view, he would still be at least a great comedy writer, and he's just got that comedy mind. But the way in which he approaches politics and the boldness and the courage of taking the most minority positions and knowing that you're going to lose a lot of the audience with it, and none of that bothers him. It's his point of view, and it's his thumbprint, and he's doing it all in a way that's right, and I don't think anyone is going to be like John again.
I think he's also our preeminent media critic.
Yes, that's his job. He comments on himself and the world around him, the television world, the radio world, the social media. He's on all of it. And he has a very, his opinion offends maybe 40% of his audience. And he lives with that.
But they come back the next night to see, what's he going to make me mad about tonight?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly right.
Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert will be the guests on the first episode of the new season of Inside Comedy with David Steinberg, Tuesday night on Showtime, followed by Wanda Sykes and Dan Aykroyd, Cheech and Chong, Michael Keaton, Ted Danson, Bryan Cranston, Conan O'Brien, Jeffrey Tambor, and Carol Leifer. That's quite a season. I'm looking forward to seeing all of it. Thanks so much for coming back on to talk again, David.
Thank you so much. It's so great to talk to you. I always enjoy it. Let's hope I'm doing enough next year so you want to talk to me again.
You know what? Even if you're doing nothing, I want to talk to you again.
But
I don't wish that upon you.
No, that would be unbelievable. I can't imagine what life like that is like.
No, David Steinberg here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.
Let's get a look at traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Yeah, trying to get into St. Charles County is an absolute nightmare for some drivers. And might I suggest, if you are thinking about going that way and you are east of Highway 270 now, I'd go 270 to 364. That's about the only open way. First of all, we've got this overturned concrete truck that's got Highway 40 completely shut down just after Chesterfield Parkway West. It's about midway between Parkway West and... it goes past me. Anyway, it's after Chesterfield Parkway West. We also have three lanes shut down. The three center lanes are shut down on Highway 70 westbound after the Blanchette Bridge. Now, you're jammed back approaching Lindbergh. You're jammed back on Highway 40 at Lindbergh. Also, another accident on northbound Highway 170 at Frost that has the right lane blocked, and you're jammed back to Highway 70. Southbound 170 is slowing from Ladue down through Highway 40. This traffic report is brought to you by Sam's Club. With a Sam's Club membership, you always get great savings. Pick up 240 Daily Chef plastic cups for $10.68. Grill up chicken breasts for just $3.99 a pound. Join and save. Sam's Club, life is better in the club. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
I'm Kelly Jackson. Monday morning on McGraw Live, we check with TV critic Gail Pennington from the Post-Dispatch. A local group has put together a study on police in the St. Louis region. And how did Bill and Hillary Clinton make their money? A new book has all the answers. And David Stokes drops by the First Rule Film and Broadcast Studio. It's McGraw Live. Watch us on KTRS.com and listen to the Big 550 KTRS.
Flooring takes more abuse than any product you'll ever put into your home. To withstand that wear and tear requires a solid product and a superb installation. You get both from the contractor members of the Flooring Industry Council. Their crews of installed floor layers have 4 years of classroom and hands-on training and are required to take refresher classes throughout their careers. A great installation won't fix a cheap product, and an expensive flooring does not perform well when installed improperly. For the best selection of flooring products and an installation from the most highly trained craftsmen, for a floor you'll be proud of for years to come, call the Flooring Industry Council at 314-968-3522 or visit ficstl.org to find a contractor near you. Again, that's 314-968-3522 or ficstl.org.
How many companies can trace their roots back to the 1904 World's Fair in Forest Park? Renoco Coffee Can and our headquarters and roasting plant are still located in the heart of St. Louis. We have grown with this city, and today, with thousands of customers in the region, our passion is serving those who serve our products.
Have you ever needed a lawn care service for just one day? Call ECI Lawn Care, and they'll cut your grass on demand, and they do not require an ongoing obligation. ECI Lawn Care will cut your grass one time or for the season. It's up to you. Just call 314-546-3170 to schedule an